Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, yo, look towards the darkness.
Nah, yo, look towards the light.
Yo, what the? Yo, what is that?
It's a supernova.
Nah, man, that's a black hole.
Yo, it's.
I leap over lies in a single bound. The black prophet, one day I got struck by knowledge of self. It gave me super scientific powers. Now I run through the ghetto, battling my arch nemesis, Mr. Ignorance. He's been trying to take me out since the days of my youth. He fears his day will come. I'm hot on his trail, but sometimes he slips away because he has an army. They always give me trouble, mainly hatred, jealousy, and envy. They attack me, they think they got me. But I use my super science and I twist all three. I see sparks over that building, they're shooting at me. I dip, do a backflip, then I hit him in the heart with sharp steel bookmarks. Ignorance hates when I drop it, but no matter what he do, he can't stop the prophet.
Yo, brother, come here real quick. Yo, I just saw Ignorance downtown, let me put you on.
Word, he down there bugging, he got them illing out, they shooting everything out.
Let's continue the saga, mad drama. I met this chick, she said she knew where Ignorance was at. I said, where? She said, downtown. He had babies having babies and young niggas selling crack. I think the bitch is lying. It's a setup. I can smell it. But Ignorance is running rampant. Aight, baby, show me the exact spot. Meet me at Quake and Skimmerhorn at 3 on the dot. So I hops up on the A-train. I'm being followed. My seventh sense is danger. I turn around, it's anger. And he brought a marble on. It's the same old song. This fear and animosity got broke with the swiftness. I don't know what they think this is. I feel a sharp pain in my neck, now I can't feel my hem. They hit me with a dart filled with the pork chop sim. I tried to hold on, but before long I dropped. When I awoke, I was locked in the barbershop, trapped in the barber's chair. Oh no, they're gonna try and cut my hair, but that can't stop the prophet.
Yo, prophet, Ignorance is tired of you following them around. We about to put an end to that right now. Animosity, fear, what's up? Get him!
Noise. It was that chick with some of Ignorance's boys. She said, prophet, we got you beat. By the way, I'm Mr. Ignorance's wife, Deceit. But enough talk now for your haircut. When the clippers touched my hair, they blew the fuck up. After the explosion, there was no one left. Cause I know them my poison hand touch a death. My vision's still kinda blurry, but I see a clue. Ignorance is at the library. I hurry with lightning speed like the Flash. He's at the big one on Grand Army Plaza. When I get inside, the door shuts and the lights go off. Damn, another trap. I hear a hissing sound. I smell a funny smell. I gasp, I can't breathe. Ignorance is laughing at me, waiting on my downfall. But he can't stop the prophet.
Well, prophet, it seems like you're in a bit of a jam. I hope you can unstick yourself. Oh, and what you did to my wife, it was nothing. I have others. The saga continues.
Yeah, so you got to ask yourself, will ignorance prevail, or will you make that change to be the subject to your higher self or higher state of mind consciousness? Or will you let ignorance continue with the madness? The saga continues. The choice is yours. The choice is yours. Welcome, everybody, to Come Out of Her, My People, Blog Talk Radio Outreach Program. I'm your co-host, Diplomatic Officer Robert Ben Israel. With me, as you know, as always, riding shotgun, is Minister Shedrick. Minister Shedrick, how are you today, brother?
Shalom, brother. I'm feeling blessed, man. I'm blessed to be here, and I'm just blessed to basically be able to deliver, you know, at the will of the Most High, you know, another great message to our brothers and sisters. And I'm just basically blessed to be here, brother.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Tada for that.
Yes, sir.
How do you like that little cut, brother?
Man, let me tell you something. That's right on the money. I was sitting up like, you know what? Robert be on his A game with his music selection because it basically falls right into the content of what it is that we actually try to bring to the people. It basically flows with the message that we are basically trying to deliver to the people is what I'm basically trying to say. But the music selection was right on the money, brother. Good job.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. To the Ock. And for the listening audience, that it was J. Rue the Damager, entitled Can't Stop the Prophet. So, the brothers and sisters, that's a little old school for you youngins. This is when there was a little bit more of that, you know, that toughness, that roughness, that rawness, that ruthless in our hip hop.
Right.
Now it's diminutive of civil mortuus, you know, the civil
yeah.
death. You know, it's a civil death of our music. They've taken over our music and they degraded it and they pretty much diluted our music. So we don't even have the same type of music like this individual right here was bringing forth. That was a cut back in 1996. J. Rue the Damager was a pretty much notable MC, but he wasn't really given as much notoriety as he should have. But
right.
He was pretty much a definite, you know, unsung hero at the time. And I kept that in my files, so I had to bring that forth to the listening audience. And this is what we have to get back, brothers and sisters. We have to get back into music like that, that's saying something. And if you listen
yes,
to the music that the brother's saying, that's in that music, it's between the prophet and the ignorance. The ignorance in certain situations can supersede your higher self. So it's a war going on between which side are you going to delve into? Are you going to delve into your higher state of mind consciousness, or are you going to go back into ignorance or stay in ignorance? So with that, I will go ahead and yield it to you, brother. But first, before that, I would like to let the listening new audience, new listeners, if we have any, know at this particular time, at the outset of the show, what we do is we like to bring out some current events taking place. And Minister Shedrick, do you have any current events, Doc?
Yes, sir. And to the opposite of that, brother. Salah. Yes, I basically have an article that was just posted on Yahoo Society of a mob of high school students attacking a man in Memphis, Tennessee. The Memphis police says a large group of high school students swarmed a BP gas station and beat a man, according to CBS affiliate WREG. Warden Williams Jr., the man seen in the surveillance footage being beaten, told the station that one of the kids sucker punched him. He had reportedly been helping an older woman to her car, after saying that she didn't feel safe when the crowd began coming into the parking lot. A video grab of the violence. As we get to the car, they are in the parking lot, throwing up gang signs and putting up a ruckus, William told Reg. After he was punched in the head, he had begun to rush to his car to protect his baby, according to the station. He also says that he considered using his gun to protect his family. Police said the baby was not hurt, but William's upper body was bruised, reports Reg. Meanwhile, other customers were inside the store, and workers reportedly held the door shut as the teens rushed to the entrance. Police also say the teenagers damaged William's car. It's still not clear what provoked the attack. Williams wants the teenagers involved cited and taken to juvenile court, according to the station. And that's pretty much the current events that I have at this time. And this is basically going to go in conjunction to what we will be later bringing out as it pertains to the subject at hand. And before we get to that, I basically want to say this. You know, coming into this nation, I basically didn't really read. I've never really read the scriptures in such a profound manner. And when I first got in the nation, I was reading the scriptures every day. But the more I read it, the some odd reason I felt connected, but I couldn't explain why I felt connected to it, but everything seemed so odd, like I had done seen it before, but I couldn't make sense of it all. And it wasn't until I got to the nation, you know, and understood our bloodline, you know, connection to it. And it wasn't until I was taught, you know, how to reason with the Bible and apply in a law to it that I had a newfound respect for it. But as the objective in the statement box on the Blog Talk newscast, I think, is reported, you know, it states that our ancestors, these Israelites, these people who have become known as Israelites, the children of Israel, the 12 tribes of Israel, these people had to be some of the most phenomenal, extraordinary, paramount people who have walked the face of this earth, because the history of these people have been gold-gilded. And I thought that was very unique to bring out today, only because, you know, a lot of people, they delve into the Bible and they're reading for inconsistencies. So see, they're looking to prove the Bible wrong, but they're never really looking to see how the Bible actually works. But most importantly, they're never really looking at what makes the Bible what it is. But the one thing I noticed about it is that it's gold gilded. Brother, do you have a dictionary on hand?
Yes, sir. You're referring to the Black's Law?
No, just any regular common dictionary.
Okay. I can pull it up right now while we're on the air. So what do you want me to look up at?
Look up the word guild. It's spelled G-I-L-D. Sometimes it's spelled G-I-L-T, but mm-hmm. It's usually spelled G-I-L-T, and those words are basically convertible. So.
Okay. Okay, I got a definite error. All right, let's go to what we're going to do, brothers and sisters. If you're listening and you have internet accessibility, we're going to go to www.merriam-webster.com, okay? Now, the definition that I see here for guild, it's a verb, and the definition says to cover something with a thin layer of gold. Full definition of guild: transitive verb, to overlay with or as if with a thin covering of gold. 2. A. To give money to. B. To give an attractive but often deceptive appearance to. C. Archaic, to make bloody. And it has gild the lily, to add unnecessary ornamentation to something beautiful in its own right. And that's pretty much most of the definitions I have, sir, and I yield it back to you.
Yes, sir. Thank you for that. I basically wanted people to basically get a primary understanding of what that word actually means, because there may be people out there who've never really heard the word. But last night, I was looking up something. I actually stumbled across the word by happenstance, and I looked it up, and I was just like, okay. Actually, I was looking up something dealing with money, and the Bank of England basically they print something called they have commercial paper or commercial certificates called gilt. And they basically use, like, the United States dollar. And they have a specific way that they produce these gilts. And if I can remember correctly, and I'm paraphrasing, that these gilts are basically gilded with gold. They have gold in them. And the gold that the reason why these gilts or these certificates are gilded, because they're showing that these certificates are very high in value. So please keep in mind, brothers and sisters, that when you are looking at any type of material that is gold-gilded, you have to ask yourself, why is that? And looking at the scriptures, no one would pay any attention to this saint. They would bypass this, this significant detail about the scriptures, is that it's gold-gilded. And it's gold-gilded because it's telling the people that this is a very valuable book. And we have people out there who are so, they're looking to edify their own self-righteousness that they forget to pay attention to the techniques and the details of this book that is a public record of all the nations that existed in antiquity. And this is something that our brothers and sisters have to get in the habit of actually looking at. You cannot just look at a book and say, it doesn't make any sense to me. You have to inspect this book. It's no different than going to a house and inspecting. You and say, oh, the house doesn't look like it's any benefit because it's just a house. Okay, well, have you been inside the house? Have you checked the paints on the walls in the house? Or is the house leveled? Does the house have proper heating and air? Or does it have any? Is the ventilation system working? Is it not working? Are the windows tore? Are the glasses broke? You know, does the yard need to be trimmed? These are the things that you need to do when you are inspecting the house. But when you're looking at the Bible, you need to basically go in there and you need to inspect this. Why is it called the Bible? What does it do? What is its purpose? Well, I know from my understanding of the Bible and upon a consensus of the brothers in the nation and the brothers who have, you know, been preaching this truth for years, that it is a contract that was entered into by the children of Israel with their creator through divine understanding and apply principles of natural law. Now, this is something that our brothers and sisters out there have got to comprehend when they're looking at this book. Brother, what do you think about that? What do you think about that?
You know what, Ock? You know, it's a great topic that you brought forth, Ock. Absolutely. And everything you said, you know, I couldn't definitely concur with everything that you had said, brother. You know what, like, Even the title that we put, brothers and sisters, is very, very important to understand. In this day and time, you're going to have a lot of negative frequencies that's going to come at you, that's going to throw you off base, that's going to throw you off course. In more particular, wordplay. A person's ideologies, a person's thoughts, a person's feelings, a person's whatever the case may be, can knock you on your block and throw you off course. In particular, the brother just made this title the good book. Book. Let's look at the etymology of book here, okay? Book, a noun, a book, writing, written document, all right? Let's go down to the book as a verb, to grant or assign by charter, to enter into a book or record, to enter for a seat or place. And those are the particular things. Now let's look at document. Okay? Document as a noun. Teaching, instruction. So, when you look at all of this, brothers and sisters, first of all, let's go back to book. Okay? Now the brother just said that, you know, within the Bible is comprised of a lot of contracts, a lot of particular paper instruments that you utilize, but to the masses who don't understand what this book is all about, a lot of people believe that it's a bunch of fairy tales, or they have these particular arguments saying that, oh, these particular individuals, where are the skeletons? Where's the archaeological remains of these individuals who are in this particular Bible? And they have all these other particular arguments that I see on a daily basis on social media, you know. Here's the thing, and I'm not going to go into the archaeological evidences of it, because we have it in the nation, you know. But we're not going to just go ahead and just give it to you people, to you brothers and sisters who are going to make malice with it, because we know that we only give a certain portion of our storehouse information, brothers and sisters. We only give a certain storehouse, and it's because of the fact that this information has to be protected by a certain group of people like it was thousands and thousands of years ago. So it's very, very important. Like I pointed out, the book is a written document. Now, written document, you know, you use a document a lot of times when you're dealing with commercial activities, like the brother talked about, for all you brothers and sisters who are just coming into this, you use your documents to go ahead and put them on the record or whatever the case may be, however you brothers and sisters do it. The same thing is within these pages. There's no particular difference. It still holds the same value as that particular document that you have going to the courthouse or whatever the case may be. But we're speaking to the sisters to understand that this is a document, brothers and sisters. This is a contract that you have with your creator. You don't have to sit here and wonder, oh, man, does God hear me? He hears you. But he's put it through these prophets to put it on these pieces of paper to let you know. Like, again, the document in itself is a teaching and an instruction. If you heed to it and you look at this for what it really is, instead of looking at who came before who and all these other particular frivolous arguments that completely just are known to throw you off course and off base into coming into your own, because they're put there by nature to go ahead and have you be able to find out, you know, the truth. So what are you going to do? Like I pointed out in the opening, will you let ignorance prevail, or will you get into that higher state of mind consciousness to be able to do it? Now, instruction. So you cannot say that you have, a lot of people say, oh, there's no instructions with life. You just have to play it as it is and have to go or whatever you think. No, there's an instruction laid out for you in these particular scriptures, with this Torah. It's instruction. These are instructions for you, brothers and sisters, to live your life so you don't go ahead and deal with all kind of savagery and you deal with all kind of malice. And so this way you can live properly in terms of nature and be with the family of nations. You have to understand this, and you have to understand the wordplay, because if you're not, you're going to have individuals who are going to rise up that's going to take you off course. It's no different. Just because they look like you or whatever the case may be doesn't mean anything, because we've had a particular individual who is the CEO of this corporation who looks like us, and we've been deceived. So, brothers and sisters, you cannot be deceived, because the words can deceive. Words have power. They have frequency. And you have to understand that, brothers and sisters. That's why I had to break down these words. You got to understand, when you read a title like we just read, you have to look at that word. Don't just go about it because when you hear the word book and think that it's just something with pages. Understand what entitles what's on that piece of paper. And I could go on more, Bob. I'll let you go ahead, Bob. Go ahead. I yes.
Oh, boy. You on fire today, man. I'm sitting there here and I have to marvel at the mindset of this brother, Robert, man, because you just, if I wasn't in the nation and I was hearing you say these things, I would be going to pick up any book I can find and going to examine what you just said, because I would want to think and try to process everything that you just said so that I can see it the way that you see it. And that's what nature basically was designed for observation, so that you can basically apply these different principles in nature and you can build upon them. But the one thing I noticed you spoke on as it was pertinent to this book is you talked about, you know, the book not just being a book, but understanding that it's a document and that it was a contract that was entered into by blood between a group of people who are known as the Israelites and nature. And what ended up happening is the Most High Almighty set forth the bounds with the people so that you know, for their own protection, that, you know, they can basically live without going above and beyond the standards of nature. And what happened? Why are our people out? Well, when we assess the condition of the people that we call the, you know, the so-called North American Negro today, the Native American Indians, the West Indians, the Hispanics and Latinos, and particular Spanish-speaking peoples today, when we assess the state of mind, you know, condition of these people today, what happened to these people? Why are they in such destitution, spiritual destitution at that? It's because these people have fallen out of bounds with the law, the natural law that was given to them by the Most High through divine revelations of these prophets who were inspired by nature to be like nature. And because they basically tread too far off from the character of who they actually, who they actually are, they basically adopted a reprobate mind. I pulled up this scripture, and this is Deuteronomy 30 and 19, and it says, I declare to you today that you shall perish. You will not prolong your days in the land where you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess it. But this is the part I basically want to get it to. In that day, he said, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. Pay attention, brothers and sisters, the blessing and the curse. So choose life in order that you may live, you and your descendants. It is very crisp and clear on the intentions of the Creator when he gave you those bounds that you should live within. There is no, well, God made me this way, or there is no God, so I can do what I want. Well, let's apply that type of thinking. Let's say, let's apply to a man building a house. Man decides that he wants to build a house. So he builds it. He builds the house real nice and pretty on the outside. No picket fence. Little gate. All white, nice. The grass all, you know, green. Nice little plush green. Windows is very, you know, very transparent. And after he builds the house, the man who builds the house, let's just say that the man who builds the house is a vile and very unclean person. Once that man enters that house and this man's characteristics manifest itself inside of the house, what happens to the house? The house then becomes vile and unclean. But you know what the funny thing about it is? This man had a choice. He could move in the house that he built, but he had the choice to keep it clean or keep it dirty. But because of who he actually is, the house ended up becoming a manifestation of the person who inhabited it. Now, this is the same way that the Most High actually works. Now, the Most High basically invested power, invested life, energy into our bodies, these vessels that we have, that he loaned us. And make no mistake about it, brothers and sisters, your life is a loan, not a gift. Because every day and everything that you do, it must be accounted for. When the Most High invested power in us, it was for a purpose. There was some exchange for it. We wanted something from the Most High, and he gave us something. He gave it to us, but there was a condition that we must follow the laws and we must honor him and no other God. And we must follow those laws that we basically attested to and basically established within our nation that we were going to follow. Once he gave us the mind and the faculty to basically execute these principles, he gave us blessings and curses. And he told us, choose life. What it comes down to is free will. You have choices in life to do certain things. But everything that you do, or just because you're permitted to do something, doesn't mean that you should do it. As our elders tell us all the time, just because you are permitted to do something doesn't mean you should do it. For instance, going back to the article I just read, group of brothers going to some parking lot and going to jump on some guy. These group of teenagers who happen to be so-called Negroes going jump on this fellow, because I couldn't really tell if the guy was Caucasian, Black Indian, or whatever else. And now they may be basically up for charges. They got a lien out on them. They put that lien on themselves because they took the will that the Most High gave them and used it for evil. What do you think is going on in the real world? It's not some fantasy garbage that a lot of you guys pulling out of your minds, thinking, oh, the blacker you are, the more conscious you are, and oh, you got to be melanin and eat all of this stuff to feed your pineal glands. Look, spare yourself all this psychology that you created for yourself, and let's get down to business. Because the people who use this book, they are able to sustain their government, and they've been sustaining their government long enough to start gunning down niggas down. Excuse my French, but that's the way it is. And guess what? They set the laws in place to do it, and they're justified in it. What is it going to take for you brothers and sisters to get out of this reprobate thinking? Brother, as a matter of fact, can you get that dictionary again and get the word probate again? This time get the law dictionary. Get the law dictionary.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Get it.
All right, one second. Okay. We have... Okay, we have probate. This is Black's Law, 5th edition. Court procedure by which a will is proved to be valid or invalid. Though in current usage, this term has been expanded to generally include all matters and proceedings pertaining to administration of estates, guardianships. In the canon law, probate consists of probatio, the proof of the will by the executor, and approbatio, the approbation given by the ecclesiastical judge to the proof. That's
interesting. You know, I also read a definition one time before where it was used in the context of someone basically being tried. A trial. And I thought about something. A lot of our brothers and sisters who inhabited North America do not understand that we basically are in our trial period. And a lot of you guys are basically reprobated. What I mean is you have basically been put on probation. Again, because you guys still have not changed your ways or not willing to change your ways. And so you become victim to your own ways. And now your ways are defining who you are. That renders you, I guess you can say, hopeless. There's no hope for you. And so you have basically been handed over to the will or the desire of your own ways. You will basically get caught up in your own ways, and your own ways are basically going to create the pit for you because you have chose to go outside and again outside of the laws that the Most High have basically, you know, set forth for you and your people. And what makes it even more worse is that you have tried to justify your wrongdoing over and over and over again. It's got to stop. It's got to stop, man. Brother, what you got on it?
Yes, sir, brother. Tada for that. You know what, man? I was just looking at that definition again, probate. You know, once again, I'm going to read that definition. The court procedure by which a will is proved to be valid or invalid. Okay? Now, though in current usage, this term has been expanded to generally include all matters and proceedings pertaining to administration of estates and guardianships. I mean, brothers and sisters, the brother brought forth the word reprobate, which basically means, brothers and sisters, you have a choice in your individual walk in life, because one thing you have to understand, brothers and sisters, is that every day that you live and every single day that you choose to deal with, you're dealing with, in essence, and you're in court. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And nature is the actual judge. You understand what I'm saying? Which is the Most High Almighty. This is what you people don't understand,
right,
brothers and sisters who are making malice with this book and talking about all these particular fallacies and fairy tales and things of that particular capacity. This is what you brothers and sisters are not understanding. This is a book. Why is it that, and Brother Priest has brought this forth in the past, why is it that this book is used all around the globe if it's so much of a fairy tale and so much of a fantasy? And if these are the particular, why are they using this in a court of law to adjudicate against you?
Boy.
And also,
bang, bang, shots fired.
Man.
Oh, Lord.
Then your book, to tear you apart, man. Your written document, your written instruction that was given to you, and then you get mad at them because they out here whooping your behinds because of the fact that you ain't getting up, you ain't self-governing, you ain't taking care of what you got to take care of, man. That's just the bottom line. Until you grab this book and be like, hey, look, man, this is our book, man. Hold on, fall back. This is our book. This is us right here, okay? Until you get up and have that in your body and your bones, bro, to go ahead and say that, listen, they're going to always have this book, man. They ain't going to always have it because, according to prophecy, they ain't going down anymore. But at the fact of the matter is this, is that, listen, proceedings pertaining to administration of estates and guardianships. This is part of the inheritance that was given to you, part of the inheritance given to you in terms of birthrights. Birthrights dealing with things that you're dealing with in terms of your offspring and perpetuation of your genetics. This thing goes deeper than what you have other people who are intermediaries or third parties are saying in terms of what this book is about. This goes notches and notches above that, brothers and sisters. And this thing is precisely you, the North American Negro, so-called Jamaicans, Native Americans, Western Spanish-speaking peoples. You are in, believe it or not, you're in a surety status, okay? When you go ahead and you're in this particular beast, you automatically are in Delph as being a 14th Amendment citizen. What is a surety? A surety is a guarantee, a promise, a pledge, an assurance. You are worth your weight in gold. And as a result, they have you in this status based upon your prior performances in building up other people's nations for them. You know what I'm saying? So you collectively are bonded and viewed as being seasoned instruments in commerce. And just the way they bundled up those mortgage-backed security instruments and to be sold by investors is what they will do to you if you don't wake up and get back into your right standing in law, brothers and sisters. I don't know how many times the Akiyam has to come on these particular shows and let you know to come on home, man. Like, why is it that you rather stay away and stray away instead of coming on home? You know, you brothers and sisters have to value yourselves, man. You have value to yourselves. My apologies. And part of the value that you have, value comes from the word evaluate. You have to evaluate something to give it a sense of value. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
Look around you. Who are the main individuals flourishing in sports? Now, I say that only because of the fact that that's not all we can contribute to this planet. It's the only thing we've been able to present to the world. Because you haven't woken up, but you have that opportunity to get back into your right standing in government, law, and commerce. Now, a lot of the hatred you're receiving is mostly because of your behavior patterns. And also the fact that the world, this is what is going on, brothers and sisters, that you don't see. You're looking at it from blinders because of the fact of this Stockholm syndrome and these other particular sciences that they're using on you to make you believe otherwise. The world is really disappointed in you. You understand what I'm saying? Think about this. You ever have that uncle or aunt or older relative that you looked up to and you wanted to be like growing up, but then they started self-destructing themselves through alcoholism, drugs, and things of that particular capacity? That's the way the world is looking at you. The people need a champion, and the only ones that can be the champion is you, brothers and sisters. No other entity that has ever been in power has been the proper trustees of the globe besides you. These other people got the ball. They got the ball, but they fumbled. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
This here is like a real-life movie. When you look at this particular, when you're moving into your flow, brothers and sisters, this is like a movie where you have that one individual, that star player, he falls off, right? And he has to be on the bench because he's falling off or he did something or whatever capacity to be. And then you got to watch the other particular player who's behind him go of lesser talent or of lesser status, fill your spot. Now, think about that, how you would feel in that particular capacity. That is exactly what's going on, brothers and sisters. I want you, the brothers and sisters, to ponder on that for a moment. And with that, I will yield. I'll back to you.
Thank you, brother. Going back to this whole reprobate mindset that our brothers and sisters have in conjunction with this Bible, you know, I was telling the brother earlier before we got on the call, when I think about the scriptures, I keep thinking about 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 4. You know, this book, and I'll paraphrase, you know, this book was written by God-inspired men, and it is basically written for the correction and the reproving of the people who are in the receipt of this contract, okay? And our brothers and sisters who are here in North America, South America, and Central America are in a position where they have to even question their own existence because they have stumbled so far from their history that they don't even recognize their own history. They don't even recognize the character or the essence of who they are that is written in a book that is used by everybody on the face of this earth. No matter where you go at on the face of this earth, I don't care if it's a grocery store, a bank, a court, Congress, they're using your history to define their constitutions and their governmental institutions. And when you have people who are in a position where they can basically take a gun and put bullet holes in a contract trying to be funny and thinking it is, you know, entertainment to them because they think they're trying to prove a point, when all in actuality you only proved how much of an idiot you are. One thing for sure, and one thing for certain, this contract stands valid at anything. Number one, because of the usage of it. And number two, let it be known and let the record reflect through commerce that when you're dealing in contracts, just because the debtor of the contract strikes the contract, tears it up, put bullet holes in it, that doesn't nullify the contract. Newsflash, it does not nullify that contract. With you brothers and sisters out there who are so up in arms about trying to basically disapprove this book, have to understand is that it don't matter how many scissors you cut, you place on this book, how many bullets you put through this book, how many knives you put through this book, how many lies you put on the book, how many people piss on the book, how many people curse the book, how many people blaspheme the book. It does not nullify the contract. The only way that a contract can ever be nullified is if the maker of the contract basically tears it up or does the same thing that you are doing to it. Now, you go take that up with the Most High and see how that works out for you. Because what you are doing is making a fool out of yourself. I don't understand what people get out of trying to disapprove of a book that has been around longer than them. Somehow, they've just been basically blessed with a little bit of information, and now they think they know more than the whole world. But yet still, you can't even figure out how to get these white people off your damn back. You couldn't even stop the man who shot the dude in the back 8 damn times. But you'll go out there and you'll protest. You guys have to really stop being a damn nigga. And I'm not saying just to be disrespectful. I'm saying because our people have turned this word into exactly what it is. The people used it as a mixed oath at one time to basically tell you that you're nothing. But now you prove the people right. And then you got the people out there in the conscious community who making it even worse. Because not only are they not edifying the people, but they are promoting the damn nonsense in the damn community. The people are more dumber than damn before. The people are more divided than before. You never see Marcus Garvey go tell Louis Farrakhan, you a chump-ass Negro, because I know more than you. Those men broke bread together. And maybe they didn't break bread together, but they respected each other. Because at the end of the day, it was all about trying to unify against the oppression that was against our people. What you brothers and sisters out there have to understand is that the only way that we are going to get out of this mess that we are in is if we start to take accountability for the things that we have done. Y'all act like y'all are so damn clean. That is the problem, because you don't want nobody to tell you that you are wrong. Damn it, you're wrong. You've been living a lie. And all these little self-help books, all these, they help. But you have to pay attention to what's going on around you. There are people who own you. They own the food you put in your mouth. At the day of tomorrow, those people tell you that they're not giving you no food stamps. They about to cut off Federal Reserve notes. You don't have a bank account, how the hell you going to go eat? First thing you think to yourself, well, I'm going to go and rob somebody. I'm getting how I live. But you know what the funny thing about that type of thinking is? You prove the people right about you. There is no hope for you. Because you have shown and proved their theories. And I say theories. Their theories right about you. All this science and stuff that they got going on, those are just theories. That's not actual science. Because it can't be applied to everybody in the world. It works for certain things. But one thing about the contract that we have instituted is that every single fraction of commerce on this planet has been instituted off the back of these principles that were set forth by our ancestors through divine revelation. Now go shoot a hole through that. And on that note, I pass it to you, bro.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Ta-da for that. You know what? Like, going back to what we were talking about, the subject matter, which was the gold book, gold gilded. You know, we had previously pointed out about the book being a written document, correct? So
yes, sir.
This is also being utilized as a form of instrument in itself, right? So we put the good book gold gilded. So what is backing this instrument? Guilt, because it's covered with gold. So this particular, like these other individuals looking at, oh, man, what about this dollar? This dollar isn't backed by anything. Oh, it doesn't have any gold. Well, guess what? This instrument has that gold backing it. It's gold gilded, like the brother just pointed. This is backed by the gold that you seek to be backed by that Federal Reserve note that you want to stay in that status for to go ahead and continue to use. And once again, don't mind the tone. I'm just very animated this evening because of the fact that I really want this message to get to the brothers and sisters. I really want you brothers and sisters to really take heed to understanding out here that you have to learn to properly discern in life. Learn to properly discern, you have to properly learn how to discern, brothers and sisters. It's very, very important. You know, when you attempt, you know, going back to the situation that I had saw about the shooting of the Bible. First of all, like, I'm just using an analogy in that capacity. When you attempt to harm a physical body, the way you harm, see, here's the thing, right? Okay, now, when you attempt to harm the body the way that you harm the power of this book, you only harm the physical portion of it. The spirit coming from that book stays perpetual, and it cannot die. You see, the body can die because the body is housing that particular spirit within. But you can go ahead and do what you have to do in terms of curse it. You can kiss it. Spit on it or do whatever it is that you want to do, but you cannot. You cannot get rid of it. You can keep stabbing the body after you killed it, but you have no power over the spirit within. You have no power over it. You deceive yourself when you believe that it's all over. Okay, boom. You know what? Hey, we done took care of that. But guess what? It's far from over, homie. All of you, to some degree, who are cursing this, have a theory about the physical and the metaphysical and the transcendence of an individual upon being deceived. So it would be foolish to believe that any real damage is being done to this message, because it's going to keep going on. Whether you sit back here, curse it, you say, oh, the Bible's fairy tales, or whatever your argument is, it's going to continue to go on. That's it. Bottom line, it's going to continue to go, you know? So for you to go ahead and do whatever it is that you feel as though necessary to do, it doesn't, you're not bothering the people who strongly believe. You can't do it, you know?
Right.
So basically, now remember, the brother pointed about gold and bonds. Now, gold and bonds in commerce have universal laws controlling its movement amongst the masses. See, the thing is, they use sciences against, you know, dealing with these commercial matters, in economics, in financial matters. They're using universal sciences. They're using certain laws to play with its movement. And at any time, remember this, because we are those particular people who are coming back into the flesh once again. We can tap into those universal laws to turn both of those instruments in our favors and turn the game around. Now, gold in itself is also prized because of its color, its abundance, and some of its properties. And it's a good conductor. Now, who does that sound like? You know, a good conductor, the etymology is one who leads or guides. And if we turn the game around, one who hires of heat. When heat is on us, we know how to lead or guide that back into our favor. And don't forget about El, which is the oldest word for God, Elohim, and electron, which is God in motion. So the thing is, we can tap on any frequency. We can go up, down, back, forth, whatever the case may be. You cannot stop. You cannot stop this. And whatever it is that you want to do, brothers and sisters, you can get away from it. You can believe in whatever it is that you want to believe. But guess what? Genealogically, 9 times out of 10, you are. And like Maury said, instead of you are the father, you are the 12 tribes. And I yield.
That's right.
Go ahead, brother.
I only have one thing to say before we start to go to our callers. God is the judge. This is an open court session right now. God is the judge. The people who are governing you are the assize. And you, you unbelievers out there, you are the fool. The joke's on you. And on that note, I yield. I pass that to you, bro.
Yes, sir. I sit off for that. You know what, man? You know, I'm just very much so, like, you know, the purpose of the show today was just basically to let our brothers and sisters know that we have to don't believe all the arguments at face value, okay?
Right.
You can't always believe, and even in commerce, you cannot take, like the brother pointed out, we're dealing with properties and things of that particular capacity. You cannot take just it at the face value of it. You have to do your due diligence and your research in terms of it. That's with anything in commerce and commercial activities. You cannot, if you're dealing with stocks, you cannot just allow your particular a stockbroker to be able to guide you in terms of picking the proper stocks. No matter what, you're going to have to continue to do it. Look at a lot of these particular celebrities out here. A lot of these celebrities out here, you know why they're getting taken down? Because they're not taking care of their own affairs. Now, granted, you cannot be the show and run the show at the same time. You got to have somebody taking care of the books while you go out there and you be the show. Understandable. But here's the thing, man. You got to make sure that at least you do have a proper, if it's not yourself, a proper power of attorney. And actually, what you really should be doing, you should really turn that game around. And you should be the one being the power of authority of any of those particular situations. Because guess who's pimping y'all? The same people that you taught. They're pimping you, man. In the industry, in that entertainment industry, you sitting here, you rapping in your videos, talking about, yeah, man, yeah, I'm pimping, riding dirty, and whatever it is that you're talking about, man. The people who your ancestors taught this science to are laughing at you. They're like, man, what's going on with these people, man? These guys are clowns. Like, you know, they love their Federal Reserve notes, but they ain't trying at all to get back into that, you know what I mean, which is who they are. And it's crazy. And another thing I wanted to point out, this is another current event, man. Why is it that you brothers and sisters had to wait until Damon Dash came out and spoke about what it is that you have to do when this message has been floating around for years? Brothers and sisters, we've been telling you, Brother Priest has been telling you, other individuals, you know, within all these particular movements have been telling you, brothers and sisters, that what you have to go ahead and do. Now you have an individual who, you know, is still a bond servant in himself, is telling you, you know, telling you to go ahead and what you have to do in terms of commerce, you know, in the smaller, you know, capacity, but he's still telling you a certain type of thing. Now you want to wake up. Now you're like, oh, man, this is what we got to do. I can't believe this. Oh, now it shakes the whole world up. But you know why? Because of the fact that you have selective hearing, brothers and sisters. You hear what you want to hear instead of what is supposed to be necessary, that inheritance that's given to you by our Creator. Now, if you want to be serious, you want to be for real, brothers and sisters, you know, you got the website, www.tribesofaboriginalnations.com. And www.templeofthemosthigh.org. You can go to those websites and do your due diligence and, you know, do your counter, you know, your cross references or whatever the case may be, you know, and just check it out and just find out what's going on. But, Brother Minister Cedric, you have anything you want to add before we close out?
I'm basically going to say this, brother. The one thing I'm learning in this life, now that I finally can get some understanding, have a peace of mind of this book that I've become quite, you know, well acquainted with, is that in order for you to basically see the blessing that you aspire to have in your life, you have to do what it takes to, you have to do what it takes in order to see those blessings. But the terms and conditions have already been set forth so that you can get those blessings in the scriptures. It's nothing that we are saying. Go in there and read this book, y'all, because it's not nothing to play. Like, this is nothing to play with when you seriously, wholeheartedly have basically looked at it. Some people can go get a little dictionary here and go find a little word, boom, they know, then they can interpret it. Or they go get a little Hebrew dictionary and they say, okay, this is what it means. No. Can you use this book? That is what is going to determine the situation at hand. It's basically going, you being able to know how to use this book and comprehend this book so you can use it, is basically going to determine how you will basically pan out in this tribulation that we're dealing with now. You don't have a whole lot of time, folks. As the brother mentioned, you can basically check us out, you know, at Tribes of Aboriginal Nations, Home Fight, and you can listen to our previous podcast there. You can also check us out at blogtalkradio.com/tribesaboriginal, or come out of heardmypeople.com, and you can check out the, you know, latest podcast. And, you know, basically reach out to us if you, you know, have any questions. And then on that note, brother, I yield.
Yes, sir. Tada for that, Akin. Shalom, shalom, relatives.
Shalom, relatives.